They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have,
and this episode's bonus question.
Have you ever had your dog tell you, in no uncertain terms, "This is mine"? I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and this week's bonus question. I'm a veterinarian with a special interest in behavior and have been helping people with their pets for over 30 years. My hope is to help you with your own interspecies relationships. Remember Babu? Also known as No No Bad Dog. More about Babu in a minute. First, let's talk about last episode's bonus question. I know you are eager for the answer. Why don't peacocks lay eggs? Well, peacocks can't lay eggs. Peahens lay the eggs. This episode's bonus question, coming up. So back to Babu. We left him hanging last time. Oh dear, not hanging, he was actually sitting. The boy had learned the sit game. So now, Babu could get the boy to give him a treat just by sitting in front of him. Dogs are pretty good at training kids. At first, Babu trained the boy to flail his arms, and that was pretty fun. Then, Babu trained the boy to run and scream, and that was even more fun. But the boy stopped playing those games, and now Babu has trained the boy to give him what he wants when he sits. Children are actually good at this stage of training. Their minds wander, and sometimes they forget to give the treat, or lose the treat. So sometimes the dog does not get reinforced. You might not think so, but this is a good thing. It's called a variable rate of reinforcement. Rather than paying off every time, payoff happens intermittently on a schedule that cannot be predicted. This results in a stronger behavior. Casinos understand this quite well. An intermittent reward will keep people gambling. If someone wins, especially if they win big, rarely do they stop. I'm on a roll. And even if they lose, well, next time it must pay off. So the behavior continues. The problem with the training now is that the boy is talking to Babu, telling him to sit or come or something else that Babu doesn't understand. Dogs often learn the words we tell them in spite of us and not because of us. They're pretty smart. It is as if I told you, blurf. You might cock your head, wondering what it meant. If I gave you a treat after I said blurf, blurf would come to mean something nice. And if I did something before saying blurf, like walking away, you might think blurf meant follow me and get a treat. But what I might want it to mean could be something different. It could even be your name. But the word would gain some significance among all the other words I might say. Gary Larson had some great animal cartoons. One of my favorites would fit nicely here. I could say, "Stop being so stubborn, blurf. I mean it, blurf." And what you would hear is, "Blah, blah, blurf. Blah, 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 blurf." So eventually, dogs learn what we mean when we say certain words. But there is an easier way to teach them English, or Spanish, or German, or sign language. It may seem backwards, but the best way to teach a cue is to get the behavior first. There are several ways to do this, but setting up the situation to encourage whatever behavior you want can help. Remember when I stood quietly and waited for Babu to sit? It took a while initially, but once he caught on, he knew that by sitting, he could get me to release the treat. And once I can predict that behavior, I can add the cue as he is sitting. Let me repeat that. I say the cue as he is doing the behavior. This pairs the cue word and the behavior much more tightly. I will talk more about how to get behavior in a later episode. So now I had the boy only say sit as Babu sat. harder for a child to do because timing can be critical. If the word is said too early, just as Babu is starting to sit, he will learn to only sit halfway. If the cue is said too late, as Babu is starting to get back up, he will learn to bounce down and back up. For this boy and his family, it doesn't make that much difference. The important thing now is that Babu is engaged in a different activity with the boy. But Babu still does some things that the family doesn't like. Stealing items, for one thing. Not only is this against human moral code, but it can be dangerous for a dog. Stealing chicken bones can end up with a trip to the vet. Again, there was a Gary Larson Farside cartoon about this. A dog, dressed in a business suit, was in the kitchen getting ready for work. He looks in his lunch bag, pulls back the bread, and on his sandwich exposes a chicken leg. He gives a sidelong glance at his wife, who is innocently standing at the sink, and he mutters, "I think she's trying to kill me." Most dogs don't think this way, and are more than willing to snatch and scarf down a bone of any kind, or a napkin, or a sock. Dogs are omnivores, meaning that they will eat almost anything, and they are scavengers, meaning that they will eat almost anything they find. They are genetically programmed to eat when the opportunity presents itself. It is always a good idea to keep things away from the dog. I have a friend who got a puppy, and we were talking about how it was going. He told me that they were both learning things. He was teaching her to shake hands, and she was teaching him to pick up his socks. So prevention is always best. Strict management can prevent the dog from getting to an item they shouldn't have. Crates, pens, baby gates, and even doors can keep dogs away from your treasured items. We will talk about crate training later, but crates can still be useful. They can be used to put books, shoes, and toys in there so the dogs can't reach them. Having a wire pen around areas that contain items that might break is also good. Initially, you don't want to just put the dog in a crate or a pen in another room or away from the family. Dogs need pack time and need to learn that it is okay to be alone sometimes. But you can put items in an area where the dog can't get to them to begin with. But keeping things away can be difficult, especially with careless kids or innocent guests. Once the dog gets something, getting the item back from them is a different problem. Dogs don't like to give things up. I can't blame them. When's the last time you wanted someone to come up and take your chocolate bar? Maybe never? So you take it away and hide it, right? Well, dogs have a very convenient hiding place, their stomach. And that's not a good place to hide socks or chicken bones. Not unless you want your veterinarian to go in and poke around your dog's intestinal system. It's amazing what dogs will steal. I once had a dog that would roam the neighborhood. This was before I had a clue. I did lots of horrible things with my pets before I had a clue. And because I was so clueless, I have infinite compassion for clients and the clueless ways they deal with their pets. But back to my roaming dog. She would go out on an expedition in the morning and come back with assorted car parts, clothing that was probably from someone's clothesline, and one time she brought home a kitten, a live kitten. She slept with it curled up under her front leg that night. The next morning, she took it back to wherever she got it from, I hope. The thing is, though, dogs don't consider it stealing. It is an opportunity. They see something and investigate. Usually, it isn't anything very interesting. Not unless they pick it up and someone starts chasing them. Now it is interesting. Now it turns into a game of keep away. And let me tell you, dogs are pros at keep away. They can run faster than us and grip an object tighter. If the thing is small enough, they can put it in the best hiding place they have. They can swallow it and hide it in their stomach. If it is of value to them or something that smells like food, they may growl. Indeed, I would growl if someone tried to take away my chocolate bar. And the next time I was threatened, I might take more severe action. It is the same with a dog. If you forcibly take something from them, you teach them to guard it more fiercely in the future. This is called resource guarding, and it can lead to creating an aggressive dog. Resource guarding can start out in a subtle way that we may not recognize. Turning away is often a first sign. Stiffening of the body, staring, and lifting his lip are all common signs that we might not notice. When we see his teeth showing and him growling and barking, that is pretty hard to ignore. But if we do, the dog can go on to lunging, snapping, and biting. Things we can't ignore. We never want it to get to that point, so we need to let the dog know we aren't going to take his stuff. Or, if we do, good things happen. But what if the dog has something that you need to get away from him? What do you do to get something away from a dog that doesn't know yet that it is in his best interest to give it up? Well, it depends on the circumstances. If it is something that will not harm them, and if it is something you don't care a lot about, just turn and walk away. Go do something that will capture their interest. Go play with one of his toys. Go into the kitchen and start making a sandwich. Chances are that the dog will follow you and maybe even drop the item. If he drops it, then this is a good time to tell him how good he is and let him follow you into another room. Give him a toy to play with and ask someone to go get the item he dropped. If there is no one available, then put the dog in another room with a toy or treat and close the door while you retrieve the item. But what if the item is something that could harm him or is something that is valuable to you and you don't want dog slobber or teeth marks on it? This is trickier. But in an emergency, I haul out the heavy guns. Cheese, chicken, hot dogs, anything the dog absolutely loves. Then exchange the item for the wonderful food. This is not letting the dog win. This is letting the dog live. If he gives the item in exchange for a treat, he will not swallow it and have to go to the vet. Or you will not beat him senseless in a fit of rage over dog drool on your cell phone. The tricky part of this is that dogs can learn that certain items will cause you to freak out and give them food. You have then created a monster that steals anything you hold dear, playing keep away and waiting for you to give them a treat. So the best plan is to make a plan. Teach the dog to give something back willingly. A behavior is always stronger when it's the dog's idea. So how does that happen? Remember how we got Babu to sit? We made it easy for him to sit and rewarded anything that even faintly resembled a sit. We set up this situation so that he could succeed. As a scientist, I was taught not to anthropomorphize. Now, this does not have anything to do with shape-shifting or doing anything immoral. Anthropomorphism is assigning human characteristics to animals. This could be dangerous since it can lead to false assumptions. But Jane Goodall broke this rule when she referred to the chimps she was studying by name and described the personalities of the chimps. I feel that we can extend those descriptions to dogs and cats if we are careful. But even more, I think that ascribing human characteristics to our pets can help give us insight into how we might respond to them. It helps us understand the motivation an animal might have for what we consider bad behavior. So imagine yourself walking down the street and someone comes up and asks for your wallet. I imagine your first response would be no, and maybe even stated in a growly voice. Perfectly normal. Then imagine this scenario. You are walking down that same street and someone asks for your hat. Odd request. But before you can say no, they offer you $10 for your hat. Now, this isn't your favorite hat. It has a logo of some company you've never had a great attachment to. So, sure, you make the trade. He gets the hat, you get the $10. But then he says, oops, wrong size, and gives you back the hat. Now you have the hat and the $10. And your attitude toward this fellow has changed. He is not really much of a threat anymore. The next time you see him, he says, "I'll give you $20 for your coat. It's a bit chilly out, but you could use the money." And the coat was an old one from a thrift store. You can easily get another one for under $10. So sure, you give it to him. He takes it and gives you $20. After looking at the label, he says, "Oh, that isn't the designer I thought." And he gives it back to you. Okay, now you really like this guy. The next time you cheerfully go up to him just to see what he might want. This time he says, "Give me your wallet." Your wallet is very high value for you. He says, "I'll give you $1,000 for your wallet." You do a bit of calculating. You certainly don't have that much money in there. You can cancel credit cards and get a new driver's license. So you make the trade. You give him the wallet and you get $1,000. He opens up the wallet, takes out your business card, and hands the wallet back to you. This guy is nuts. You start looking for him just in case he wants something from you. You don't worry anymore that he will take something from you and not pay off. We did this same process with Babu. We made a list of the items he tended to steal. Shoes, socks, underwear, and paper plates were high on that list. Of lesser value were newspapers, kids' toys, and books. Then we made a list of treats in order of value to him. Kibble was low on the list, but very effective if he was hungry. Dry biscuits were pretty good, but were outweighed by chicken and cheese. This gives us an idea of what, to him, is a $10 item and what is a $1,000 item. So we started with the low value items. I held out a piece of paper for him. I wanted him to take something so I could exchange it for a treat and let him know the pattern of the exchange game. Babu sniffed at it, but did not want to take the paper. So we tried something else. I got a toy of his, waggled it around until he took it. Yay! Then I pulled out a small piece of dog biscuit and put it in front of his nose. I say a small piece because I want him to eat it and come right back for more. He dropped the toy, and I gave him the biscuit. I wiggled the toy again, and he took it. I held out my hand for the toy as I held out the other hand with a treat. He dropped the toy into my hand. Take the toy, give it back, get a treat. Soon he would give the toy back before I pulled out the treat. This is important. Then the food becomes a payment and not a bribe. Then the food does not have to be present for him to relinquish the item. That way he can give up the item and you can go into the kitchen for the treat. He does the work and payday's Friday. Now, there are two more things we need to do. One is to graduate to higher value items. Over the next few sessions, we played the game again with an old shoe, a child's toy, a paper plate smeared with some peanut butter, and a pair of old underwear. The other thing we need to make sure to do is to transfer this behavior from me to the boy. Babu needs to learn to gladly give things up to the boy. I can generally teach a dog the cues I want him to know, but this is a common problem with board and train situations. The dog is well behaved in the circumstances of the training, but it falls apart when the owners try to take over. There needs to be a transfer of these skills to the people who are actually interacting with the dog on a day-to-day basis. Even if the cues are the same, the trainer may have a deeper voice or a certain cadence to the directions. The dog needs to learn that when the owner says sit, it means the same thing as when the trainer says sit. The dog also needs to learn these behaviors in the circumstances that the dog lives in. There may be different distractions or memories of how much fun it is to jump on the family. All this takes time for the trainer to pass on the training to the home situation. So we repeat the give it up game, starting again with a low value item and Babu giving it to the boy. The whole process took about a week of doing 2 to 3 1-minute sessions per day. It is best to go slow and not try to test the dog. If we go faster than the dog can handle it, we set him up for failure and have to go back a step to where he was doing well. Ironically, the slower you go, the faster the progress. Another approach to teaching a dog to relinquish an item is what I call Zen training. You may be familiar with Zen. It is the art of doing nothing. It is the art of the enigma. And I love this technique. Start by letting the dog know that you have a treat. Then hold it out in your closed hand. The dog will sniff and lick and try to get at it. Just wait. This is the Zen part. Do nothing, but keep your hand closed. Then the dog will eventually look at you as if you're nuts. Why are you giving the treat? As soon as the nose leaves your skin, boom, open your hand. Dog takes a treat. Take another treat in your closed hand. Just wait while the dog licks your hand. As soon as the nose leaves the hand, open your hand again. Boom, dog takes a treat. You will find that it takes less and less time for the dog to withdraw his nose from the closed hand. The dog is learning the other part of Zen. In order to get it, I must give it up. The next step is to hold the treat in one hand and give a treat from your other hand. So the dog backs off from the closed hand and gets a better treat from the other hand. He is learning that it is in his best interest to back off from the treat in the hand. All this time, we are silent. We are not telling him to back off. It is his decision to back off. Remember, dogs do not know English. Random sounds have no meaning. Then comes the icing on the cake. Well, not icing, really. What we are doing is more integral to the cake-making process. Think of it as baking the cake. This is teaching the dog a cue for this new behavior. This allows us to get the behavior when at a distance. When Babu is across the room eyeing a plate of cookies, we can ask him to leave it alone and then go over to him and reinforce his behavior of not eating our cookies, which shouldn't have been left out in the first place. Now, the cue can be anything. We generally think of cues as commands like sit, down, roll over. I prefer the term cue because I believe that we are in a partnership with our pets and not really in a position of power. This is especially true when it comes to training cats or chickens. They don't care a whit about knuckling under to petty authority. Don't think that the cue needs to be a word. All sorts of things can act as cues, even things we may not be aware of, such as what shoes we are wearing or which cupboard door we open. The dog knows when we have our tennis shoes on that they're going for a walk. They know when we open the pantry at a certain time of day, their dinner is coming out soon. And some dogs are deaf. They can't hear us tell them what to do. So the cue for them would need to be something visual, something like a thumbs up or a flash of light. When I'm training the owner, I suggest using something that the whole family can remember. So cues like donnez-le-moi may not be the best choice. A common cue is leave it, but you could use the word flash or zowie or metamorphosis, anything that the whole family can remember. Then when you are absolutely sure that the dog will not nose your hand, you can give the cue. You have to be absolutely sure or you will confuse the dog. You need to be so sure that you are willing to bet $100 that the dog will do the behavior that you are teaching. When you have been doing this enough and are certain that the dog will back off, hold the treat and say, leave it. When the dog stays away from your hand, open your hand and give the treat. If you lose the bet and the dog doesn't back off, then the cue word will mean nothing. You have to go back and work some more on being in Zen mode and waiting for him to withdraw. So, back to Babu. Once Babu is very comfortable relinquishing items, then on the rare occasion when it is something that might hurt him, you can then exchange the item for a treat or toy and not give it back. You still let him know what a good dog he is and make sure he's paid well. Give him one of those $1,000 items. Then go back and play the game with other items, always giving it back when you can and reinforcing the pattern of happily giving things up. Babu is a smart boy. He has learned some manners with the children and other family members, but he is still in danger of being sent away. He is still barking on leash. For most dogs, it can be annoying. For a pit bull or pit bull mix, it can be life-threatening. Pit bulls have a bad rap, and we need to understand their special needs. So, until next time, I will leave you with another bonus question. In the state of Washington, is it legal for a man to marry his widow's sister? If you think you know the answer, send an email to info@radiotacoma.org with bonus question in the subject line. Winners will be chosen at random from the correct answers. You can also send your questions to info@radiotacoma.org. Please put "Ain't Misbehavin'" in the subject line. You can give as much information in the email as you wish. If your question is chosen, I will answer it in detail on the program.
This is Dr. Louisa reminding you.
They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
I don't stay out late. Don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.